I want to talk to you this morning about living on purpose. Great response from the audience. There's so much we can do with our lives, isn't there? But are we living on purpose? And so this morning I thought we'd take a moment because Paul talks about this a lot in all the books. And since he wrote so much of the New Testament, you've got to dedicate a message to it somewhere along the line. And I want to refer to it in respect to Christ this morning and what he's done for our lives and go back to a story of Christ as well. So living on purpose. Turn to your neighbour and say, I want to live on purpose for Jesus. Let's read this scripture, Colossians 1, verse 24. And if you want to live on purpose for Jesus, just a quick plug, please see Claire at the information desk if you want to be baptized. And because next week we've got Graham Vert, very knowledgeable in the Word of God, who from year 7 upwards is going to actually do a short class with everyone so that you don't have to worry or fear about being baptized. The more sins you have, no, we don't hold you under for longer. And so just relax and you know what? Go into all the world, baptizing them. We make disciples, and part of being a disciple is what? Being baptized. It's both a physical sign and a spiritual sign. We talked about this last week. So may I encourage you? I believe there's some adults, and some of those are more mature in age who have said, you know what, I need to do this. And I think that's a celebration and saying, I'm not going to let anything take my life away from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. So if there's anyone here that's never been baptized or you've been infant baptized, let's see if you're up for it, you know. Just see the guys afterwards. You can talk to Graham personally after the service this morning, and that might help you as well. Good. Okay, 1 Colossians, what was I saying? Colossians 1, 24. Let's read this scripture. I am glad. Who likes verses like that? You know, the Bible's not boring and it's not meant to be all doom and gloom. And so our services are not doom and gloom either. We like to enjoy our life. We like to be bubbly. We like to enjoy each other's personalities. And so it starts, I am glad. And then he goes on to say, when I suffer. Paul's talking about his work in the church. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am completing what remains of Christ's suffering for his body, the church. You know, this man put his life on the line for the church. If it wasn't for guys like him, we wouldn't be around today. Isn't that an awesome thing? And it goes on. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church. Everyone say the word serving. Serving. All right, we'll come to that in a moment. By proclaiming his message in all its fullness to you Gentiles. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to his own holy people. For it has pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. For this is the secret. Let's say these words together. Christ lives in you. Oh, you're very good this morning. And this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. So everywhere we go, who's going somewhere after church? Anywhere. All of us. Everywhere we go, everything that we are doing, we tell everyone about Christ. I was at the gym yesterday, just quickly. I'm feeling old. So I thought I'd better get back down to the gym. And you know, there's a guy there, and then he's I wish I had a body like his, my goodness. But the point is, you know, we gave each other a thumbs up. That was pretty much it. But he knows what I do, and he's got respect for that, and kind of like he's doing his big weights and he's going. Sometimes it's not what we preach, it's who we are. Just walking into somewhere and people have, you know, what an example. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We can be real, right? I'd rather be real. I'd rather be authentic in who I am than try and be somebody that I'm not. Did we finish the scripture? We didn't. So everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. We warn them and teach them with all the wisdom God has given us. For we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Wow. Who thinks I've got a bit of a way to go? I work very hard at this as I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So we get some help. And so Paul says there's a purpose for which he labours. And sometimes he finds it, he finds it difficult. He's suffering. You might feel like that from time to time. And doing, in this, his context, doing the work of an apostle was not easy going. He's in jail. And what Paul is saying is he carries the weight of the church. He has a burden for the church and its people. Not everyone has the same amount of burden, but every one of us that believes in God should have a burden for the house of God. And then there's others of us that lead that have an even greater burden because God's called us. And this is Paul, he's talking in this respect. And it was what Paul said that kept him going. You know, what we say, it's really important for our spiritual world and for our natural world. The things that come out of our mouth determine where we're heading in a lot of ways. And so we need to be speaking and living for Christ, as Paul says. And the Message Bible simply puts it this way. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. And so Paul says that he worked every day to cement Jesus into the lives of the believers and the non-believers alike. And because there's no greater purpose than to have Christ living through you. And Paul states his purpose for living in this life, and at the same time says it calls for suffering, some sacrifice, some pain. We don't like that, do we? And I think it's very easy to forget that being a part of a Christian, being saying that you are going to be following Christ, that at times you may suffer. And to have a little self-sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. And so Paul is literally describing that because Jesus is in his heart, he cannot be anything but what Christ has put in him to do. Who's glad they've got Jesus in their heart? And because we've got Jesus in our heart, it's what Christ is in us that allows us to have purpose for our lives. Doesn't really matter who you are this morning, what your background is. We have purpose when we admit that we receive Jesus into our life, into our heart. We become followers of Jesus, and we have purpose just in that because we cannot stay the same. And we talked about this last week because it's through faith. And so if we have no faith, then we're not going to be a follower, are we? And so it's through faith, and that's why we go through the waters of baptism, because it's through faith. And that's why we come to church, because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We make an effort. Sometimes it's hard work. We might have a headache. Get over your headache. God will heal it when you get to church. And sometimes I think we're just a little bit too mamby-pamby because we live in the Western world. Go on a missions trip. Come to Africa with me next year. Once Ebola's, you know, sort of, thank you, Lord, it's decreasing in Liberia, in Jesus' name. So, number one, you can't be productive if you don't have purpose. You can't be productive if you don't have. You are you. We discussed this a few weeks ago. Colossians is such a rich book. You have to celebrate you. God was so smart when he made you. Look at the person next to you. Gee, you're just amazing. Say it. Come on. You're amazing, Eunice. You're amazing. God was so smart when he made each one of you. Whoever you are today, he thinks you are just so special to him. Isn't that give you purpose straight away? You know, some of us are more quirky than others. Some of us talk more than others. Some of us talk a lot more than others. Some of us hardly talk at all. But the point is that God made us all uniquely wise to share the good news that Jesus in our heart. And so you can't be productive if you don't have his purpose for your life. He didn't make you by accident. And our education system and our society generally has a hammer on you, trying to smash you into a place that you do not fit. And we all fit through what Christ has done for us. We live on purpose through making him Lord of our life. And it's interesting to me that Paul was getting near the end of his life when he wrote the prison epistles. He's an old man now. He's in prison. But he still had purpose. He's still writing. He's still concerned about the church. He's asked Epaphras. He's asked Tychicus. He's been asking them to come to him because he had purpose for his world. And so Paul was determined to have this purpose in Christ to the day he died. And so I've given some thought to our modern day world this morning. And for the most part, people live to retire. Would that be true? And to finally get what they want for the rest of their lives, if they make it that long. That's true. And so, do you think we should switch off from the purpose of Christ in our lives? Anybody? Betty, you're probably the youngest person here this morning. Do you think we should switch off from the purpose of God in our lives?
I need God.
Absolutely, you need God in your life. You need light in your life. Come on. If we really know Christ, is it possible to switch off from him? Bucket lists will come and go. My mum's, I got it wrong. I took her to breakfast this week. She's 74. I said she was 75. Big mistake. But anyway, that's my wife's fault because she always adds years to people's lives. So I'm blaming her. See, I've been 50 for about 2 years already. See, my mum's 74 years old. She's been retired, as far as I'm aware. I think it's about 17 years, give or take. Well, I meant it. She sends me a Facebook message. I didn't even know she understood how to use Facebook. She sends me this message from South Africa. She's running the kids program for C3 Hepburn Heights. And I think this is what Paul is saying between the lines. We may retire, we may, in his case, be out of action, but we can't retire from the purpose of Jesus if he truly lives in our hearts. And so you can't be productive if you don't know your purpose. With Christ, it's impossible not to have purpose. Number one, you can just get involved in the house of God in some way. So this morning, if you're not involved in anything, why don't you say, well, I can sign up. I can definitely do that at Christmas time. 3 nights, Wes was very generous. He said, just come for one. I'm saying, why not come for all three if you're here? Let's see the good news. And so you can read John 13, chapter 1, and it says this, Jesus knew, because I want to talk about Jesus, because it was his last hour as well. So Paul's in his last days, Jesus is in his last days. And Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world. And if you knew you only had 1 month to live, like Jesus, or a week, maybe you've only got a week to live, you wouldn't be arguing about foolish stuff. You'd be getting on with the most important thing. Do you agree? And I believe you would prioritize what you were going to do with the time that you had left. So what did Jesus do? You can read this in John chapter 1, verse 4. He got up from the table. He took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel he had around him. It seems strange to me that in the final moments of Jesus' life that he would wash feet. Anyone else find that a little bit unusual? It's in his last, but this is where it's powerful. Jesus is setting something up for those who believe in him. And today, like I said, people have their bucket lists of things they want to do. They want to go to Switzerland. They want to go around Australia. They want to go around the world. I want to meet that person. And so on and so on. They're all great things, but we still need to have purpose in our lives, which comes through Christ. And so in the final moments of Christ's life, he got down on his knees and he washed feet. And that level of importance is mind-blowing. But you will never have it if you're going to be stuck at the dinner table. We know it's the supper time, and the disciples and the people are coming to feed. They're coming to get whatever they can get. And somehow that even that they didn't get to the normal custom of washing everyone's feet. And they're eating over and over again. And we can be like this. We can eat over and over again, never using any of the fuel that we get from a message. Just believing, just collecting, just for our own entertainment and our own enrichment. And you should be burning off on Monday what you got on Sunday. You should be using it for some goal, for some purpose that really matters. And the Bible says, supper being ended. So Jesus did not immediately. They'd talked, they'd eaten. And then he took a towel. And there was process in what he did. And the Bible is clear. He rose up. He got up. He laid aside his outer clothing, his robe. And here's the truth I want you to understand today, which is my second point. You cannot serve God with your own agenda on. Say it with me. You cannot serve God with your own agenda on. I just want it to sink in for a moment. And what Paul is saying through Colossians is being a demonstration of Jesus whilst we are here. Colossians 1:25, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his message in all its fullness to you Gentiles. In other words, to the whole world, not just the Jews. Do you think that this is in the Bible, that we have the same responsibility of serving Christ in our world? Anyone? It's the same. What kept Paul going was the same thing that kept Jesus going, serving Christ. Serving God, in Christ's case, the Father. God has given me the responsibility. You know, God has given every one of us the responsibility of serving him. And you cannot serve God with your own agenda still on. You have got to take it off. And until you're willing to lay aside your own agenda and say, Lord, I am available to you, you won't be ready to serve in the robust way Christ wants us to serve. I want you to write this down if you have a pen or your phone. Selfish people don't serve. Say it with me. Maybe some of you are selfish. Selfish people don't serve. Say it with me. Selfish people don't serve. Selfish people, they don't serve the Lord, they don't serve their family, they don't serve their neighbours, they don't serve their generation. Everything about selfish people centres around their own self-comfort and their own well-being. And Paul is saying that if Christ is in you, it is Christ is with us, he's in your heart, then we preach Christ. It's not just a word from our lips, it's what we are as a person. It's outworked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so church is important. It's the hub of the week. Who's glad they came to church today? What a great experience. Great. The music team's doing such a good job. Nick, you're just getting really good on those drums, man. Wherever you are. There he is. We're not singular. We're together in Christ. Amen? And so we celebrate baptisms because we're together in Christ. Amen? We celebrate our lives together when we have important moments in our life. We celebrate together because we're in Christ together. Every time someone makes a decision for Christ on Sunday, it's together. We've all helped because we've all enjoyed loving God together. And every time we worship together, not arms folded, steely-faced. If Christ is in you, it doesn't really matter what your morning's been like, nor your week or even your year. He is to be praised. And in Christ, together for his purpose. And his purpose is not our own. Everything about selfish people centers around their own comfort and their own well-being. Selfish people, they want to be served. They want to get served. They will critique the way you serve them. They have high standards of what is required to please them. But they never consider that they are to serve. And if Christ is the God we worship and he served, I don't think there'd be anyone on the planet that would disagree that Christ served. Then there is no position, no level of education, no level of income, no level of wealth or anything else that exempts you from service. And you must understand that the acquisition of stuff does not make you happy. Might for a little while, but who's noticed that it fades after a little while as well? And so the acquisition of stuff doesn't help us when we're having a difficult time. When we're in a storm, it's no degree, there's no amount of money, no matter what work you have, no matter how good you are at what you do, when you're in a storm, the best thing you can have in your life is Christ and the relationships around you that love you. And when you really need someone to be there for you, to stand by you, to build you up, you'll be surprised how little the stuff will help. Sure, it's okay to have stuff. I'm not saying we should all take a vow of poverty. That wouldn't be Christ's way either. But what I'm saying is this. If you don't use what you have to give, if you don't use who you are to help, if you don't encourage or be useful in some way, and Paul was saying, whilst I have breath, I am putting myself in a position, and that position is in Christ. Is there anyone here this morning that will put their position in Christ today? Just a couple of people. Let's put ourselves in a position of Christ today. I'm putting myself in a position to help someone else. And I'm grateful as a church we've put ourselves in a position to be able to help people in another country like Liberia at the moment that obviously has a tremendous in world news and difficult situation. I'm glad I didn't need to, but you know, for my own personal self, it wasn't something that I had to do, but just talking with other pastors and rallying guys that I know and being able to raise close to $40,000 to C3 churches. Well, I tell you, I'm glad I did it because now I have purpose beyond myself. That makes me feel good, and that makes you feel good too. There's something about putting ourselves a little bit behind and say, God, what have you got for me? What do you want me to achieve? When I think about it, some of the happiest moments are when I'm doing something for someone else. When you're helping someone else, you're living on purpose. Not someone who is just greedy, but someone who is in need, someone who is in trouble, who can't fix it themselves, and it is within your power to help. That's on purpose. That's love God, each other, our community. And so Jesus is trying to equip his disciples. He's at the supper table. And they've been arguing about who will sit at the right side of God when they get to heaven. Who's on the left? Who's on the right? The right's more important. I want to be on the right. Who are you going to remember when you get to heaven, Jesus? Who's going to get that? Who's going to get this? But Jesus got up and he laid aside his robe and he girded himself with the towel and got down on the floor. Biblical tradition was that you washed feet as the guests arrived. But nobody had washed the feet. And so they were eating with dirty feet. And biblical transportation was with sandals on. They walked. You got to your guest's house carrying the dust from the journey. And washing of the feet was the way the host was able to wash away the sands from the journey. And being in my house is to be a refreshing experience for you. Being in the house of God is to be a refreshing experience for you. Amen. Being in the house of God is to be a refreshing experience. And Jesus is giving us a way that we are to make his house even greater than it is right now. And it's through taking off those things that are our own agenda and serving in the house of God. Nobody'd refresh them. Nobody had honored them. Nobody had recognized them. The meal's over. Everybody's getting ready to leave. And they are looking around and they're thinking, what's left to eat? And they start dividing up the turf. And just like at a funeral, or in some cases even during, it can tear families apart. The jewelry's mine. Mum gave it to me. The house belongs to me now. That money's mine. It is that kind of a spirit that is pervasive in our world today. And everybody in the world wants to know, what am I going to get? What's coming my way? Who's next in line? Selfies pervade social media. And I think it's good to have a bit of fun. I'm not saying, but you're getting the point. Society says it's all about. Some of the reason that marriages break down, everybody wants marriages to be for them. When two selfish people get together, their marriage does not serve any purpose. They quickly get a list. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't buy me that. The business isn't doing so well. Their focus is not on giving. Their focus is on receiving. And then when that selfish couple have a child, what do you think is going to happen? Well, then I just divide up the turf even more. You cannot live on purpose with your own agenda on. And so we've been training people to eat. And society, especially in our Western world, we train people how to eat. And Paul preaches Christ, no more, no less. He gives us all the purpose and training we need. And people who train their children to serve will always have a job. It may not be the best job in the world, but if they're willing to serve, they will get work. They'll be able to put food on their table because they have parents who believe in serving in the house of God. There's no need to lack anything when you have Christ in your life. People have been trained. They won't be jobless for very long. And there aren't many jobs available where you come and get what you need. You have to lay aside your garment. You humble yourself. You prepare yourself to serve somebody. You can't get rid of somebody who knows how to serve. They're great assets to anyone. And so they will always have something to do. They will create a job even if there's not one, because money follows service. And if it doesn't serve a purpose, then it has no value. And the only real value anything has is when it serves a purpose. And the greater the purpose it serves, the greater It is funded. You know why we wanted to get, as parents, get together and have a trip to the Philippines with all our young people? Because we know it will transform your lives forever. It's serving the purpose of Christ and not ourselves. It's putting our own agenda aside for a little while. What did the message say? It's basic. No more, no less. Christ. And so, let me ask you this morning, what purpose do you serve? Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? What purpose do you serve? What do people get when they get you? What are people going to lose when they lose you? What would they say? When you walk out of the room, what purpose do you serve? Do you make people miss you when you're going to be gone? If you were here, you know, if you're here right now, they would have done this. Let's leave our mark. Let's have purpose in our lives. So, Father, today, I pray that we would live with purpose. I pray that we would live with your purpose in our lives. Let Christ be our purpose. And I would encourage anyone here this morning, it's not serving in some capacity. If you won't serve here, I doubt you'd serve anywhere else or serve someone else. Not long term. It doesn't matter who you are. Will you go to the information desk when we've finished here this morning and say, you know what? Where can I serve? Where can I be of value to the body of Christ? And yeah, I may suffer from time to time. It may be difficult for me at times until I learn what to do. But you know what? I'm prepared to do it because Christ is in my heart. I will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of God said, Amen.